So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 10 through 17. I'm not going to be, I wish I could say I won't be overly long. But if a pastor ever tells you that, or a minister, or a preacher,
do not believe them.
Do not believe them. Because if it's of God, you want them to go a long time. But if it's not of God, you don't want them up here. And I was running through this morning, and I go, Lord, I don't understand why I'm preaching this sermon today. But then I realized we had our annual business meeting, and then it's just amazing how God works. So we're going to pray, and then we'll jump into it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you what you already did. You make my job so much easier, Holy Spirit. We thank you for it. Father, we just praise you. We exalt you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. If you're there, say there.
There.
Awesome. Here we go. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Joel's household told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I only follow Christ. Verse 13. Has Christ divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus, Gaius. For now no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh yes, I baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. The cross of Christ would lose its power. There's a lot of preachers out there that can wax eloquent sermons. And I've been wowed by many of them. They'll take the Greek, they take the Hebrew, they mix it all together. Now here comes a beautiful intellectual words that would be great on a piece of paper or great in other places. But in the house of God, we don't need elegant speeches. We don't need people up here looking all great and knowing, I mean, there's nothing matter with knowing Greek and Hebrew and Latin, all those cool. And it's probably a good thing to have somebody who knows how to speak the language. But it's more important that they know the power of the cross more than anything else. I guarantee you, there'll be preachers coming through this year who will preach a whole lot better than I could ever preach. And I'm not upset with that. I'm glad they know how to get deeper into God's word. But God didn't create me for that. Just like Paul said, I wasn't created to baptize people. I came with the power of the cross. It won't be elegant. It won't be pretty. But there might be a lot of other things going on. Of people being set free, delivered, and healed. And that's the power of the cross. And the thing about it even says in the New Testament that they knew that they've been hanging out with Jesus. And it also says, you know, I wish I could remember the verse. But it says that we should need, it's not about a sermon. It's about what was before the sermon. It's about what can take place in the spiritual. And what took place today can take place tonight in your homes. Can take place wherever you go. Because I don't have a mark on the Holy Spirit. But you walk different. Yeah. You ever walk in my shoes? Have you fasted for 25 days? No. I don't want it to. I didn't want to either. But to think about it, to get more of God, you have to lay aside. A lot of times we look at the church of today and we're like, man, it's messed up. And it is. There is no perfect church. If it is, don't let me go. Because I will destroy it. Paul, who was an apostle, planted churches. Then he put people in charge to run those churches. And now he's writing to a letter to these believers who are messed up. There's things that he'll write about in the next couple of chapters because we, oh wow, 1 Corinthians, we get those Holy Spirit gifts. That's awesome. Which it is. But you have to deal with issues first. We're going to talk about a guy, a man, sleeping with his father's wife in a few weeks. That's found in 1 Corinthians. So you think we have a messed up church? Or the church down the road's messed up? One of the first churches planted is totally messed up. Because the culture influenced the church. When the culture influenced the church gets messed up. The church needs to influence the culture, so the culture will be messed up.
Yes.
And here he goes. He goes, I'm pleading with you. In other words, he goes, I'm appealing to you. I'm encouraging you guys to walk in unity. If there's no unity, you'll never make it where you need to go. And I'm going to use a very recent example. Friday, the Minnesota Vikings fired their GM. But since he got fired, there's been leakage after leakage, how disorganized, how disbamboozled the organization has been for the last 2.5 years. How the GM and the coach were not in unity. How messed up the inner workings of the front office really was. And how the GM never fit in to their plans. And we wonder why the Vikings can't make it to the Super Bowl. There has to be unity to get the team from, are these the players would you like to play with? If not, let's bring in players that will work for your system. There's something about unity. And then guess what? That needs to take place in the church as well. If there's no unity in the church, let's fold this puppy up and let me go. And I'm not saying it's my way either. Because I don't have a say. The Holy Spirit has a say. And what he wants, he gets. Amen. Because it's not my church, it's Jesus' church. And what he desires, I want to follow fully after him. And we have a say. My wife wrote it down. And every time I brush my teeth in our bathroom, it goes, is what am I doing, is it pleasing to God? So, what I'm going to partake in, is it pleasing to God? Am I, when I sit, some people say, well, you're being overly religious. I don't want to miss the train, y'all. I mean, we get enough come through here. Some of you know more than others, especially when you live right next to the tracks. But the thing about it is that I'd rather err on being extra holy, extra set apart, than see how close I can get to heaven. Can I still drink and make it to heaven? Yeah. But you can't get drunk. So why would I want to even take a sip of alcohol that I know could lead me to debauchery? Why would I want to put something in my mouth, drugs, all the garbage, whatever, that would make my body feel awful? Why would I want and desire to go and look at things that would not be pleasing to God? See, when it comes to unity, we have to set ourselves apart so the world will look at us and say, they have something that the world doesn't. Unity works everywhere you go. You ever seen parents not unified? House is divided. Jesus even says, if the house is not together, it's going to be divided. If the house is divided, guess what happens to it? It splits. It absolutely splits. Where you can't walk. It says even where two are gathered. There, it doesn't mean there's just two people here. The Holy Spirit's going to be here. Because guess what? There's two people meeting right now, probably at Quick Trip. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's there. It means when they're in unity, seeking God, when there's two or more gathered, the Holy Spirit's going to show up when they're walking in unity. And I have a verse to prove that. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And so the thing about it is that Paul is writing to a church that are now talking against their own church. They're bringing division. And they're saying, this is who I got baptized by. I got baptized by Apollos. Look at me. I'm a Apollon. I got baptized by Paul. I'm a Paulian. I got baptized by this person. I'm this and then. Paul goes, whoopee-de-doo. That's what he's saying here, because it's not about who baptizes. Guess what? If you're a believer, you can go out and baptize other people who come into faith. You don't need me to baptize people. Jerry, you can baptize your sister over the phone. You can. Because it's not about a position. It's about you as a believer, she's your disciple, and you get to baptize. Because it's not about a person. It's about the Holy Spirit. And baptism is going saying, it's not about saying baptized into a church. It's not baptism, it's not about baptized into the kingdom of God, because you're already in the kingdom of God when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Now you're officially in the kingdom of God. So baptism is an outward expression of what the Holy Spirit's doing on the inside. And you're saying, I'm no longer going to live as a dead. I'm going to be dead to the old man. And I'm going to be a new creation. I'm new. I'm coming out of that water. I'm a fresh new creation in Christ Jesus. And you get baptized in Christ. This, we can be called little Christians. Being Christ-like. That's what baptism is. And if somebody's been, if you've been baptized as a baby like I was, I don't remember. I just have a little hanky or something. I don't know we even have any of that stuff anymore. I think my mom might still have it. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. But I remember getting baptized when I made the choice. Say, all right, I'm going to do this. And don't feel guilty if you were baptized as a child or a baby and you don't remember it. And you're like, man, I think God wants me to be baptized again now because I placed my faith in him. That's awesome. And let's do it. Maybe not next week. but we'll make it work quickly. Let me know, because baptism is the first step in obedience. See, a lot of people say, well, I walk by faith. I don't want to walk by faith. I want to walk by obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. They're like the coin. You need one, you need both sides. But a lot of times people say, well, I want to take a step of faith. Forget taking a step of faith. Take a step of obedience. And see what the Holy Spirit does. And that, your faith will grow. By hearing the God's word and all those things. And then, he's talking about that. And then he's like, hey, this disunity, we need to stop it. Let's join together. Because Psalm 133, I'll tell you what unity does. Psalm 133. It's probably one of my favorite psalms there is. States this. It's three verses. It goes, how wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony or in unity. I'm not a musician. My daughter will correct me later on this. But basically, harmony is unity, but singing. Where people come together and sing together harmony.
Just that.
See, I told you. But it sounds together, they're together. Am I close? So unity and harmony are the same thing. How pleasant. Isn't it more pleasant to walk in unity with somebody than always being the devil's advocate?
Yes.
Isn't it always nice to go to a place where everybody's getting along? You'll have your differences. How you dress, maybe this, maybe that. But unity is not conformity. The military is conformity. Unity is when you come together and you go, you know something? I want to walk with this person. Even though we might not agree on everything in person, but when we go out in public, we're unified. We're going to do things together. I love doing things with my wife. If I didn't, why would I be married to her? You know, I think it's sad when people say, well, you know, I don't like doing things with my spouse. I'm like, what? Why not? You married them. And so there's something about unity. And the writer here, David, say it's wonderful and it's pleasant when we live in harmony. It's beautiful music. Living in unity. There's not unity up in the Twin Cities right now. There's no harmony up there. It's like some strange music. For harmony or unity is precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. This anointing oil it's one of a kind anointing oil. It was only for the high priest to be anointed with. And the anointing oil wouldn't be just a little dab that would do you. See, when there's unity, when there's harmony, it's not a little dab. It's a whole bucket of oil. And oil represents anointing. So, it says, when you walk in unity, it's like the anointing of a high priest. And so, because we can be unified, we're anointed to carry out God's calling in our life. Unity in the church, because like I said before, if there's no unity and there's bickering and all that, let's close it up, because we're not going to fulfill the Great Commission with bickering. Even Jesus squelched the disciples when a couple of them spoke up. Yeah, Jesus, they're doing things, but they're not doing it our way. Should we cast fire down at them? Jesus looked at them like, no, be quiet. Even though they're not doing it the way we're doing it, they're doing it for God's glory. Leave them alone. So our job as a church is not to compare ourselves to the other churches, because they'll do it differently than what we're called to do. We should thank God they're doing something for Jesus. As long as they love Jesus and they say Jesus is the only way to heaven, I will come along, side them, and support them. Now, if they're saying there's other ways and other means, I can't, because then they're not a part of the kingdom of God. I don't care about when they worship, how they worship, but as long as they're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, let's get on the same page and let's conquer Dodge Center. Let's conquer Dodge County. We have more than enough people to worry about that we don't need to worry about everybody else. Let's focus on what God has for us right now, today. And that's like that anointing oil. It's just not on the head, but it flows over the whole body. And you can walk in anointing. And then it goes on. It goes, harmony or unity is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessings, even life everlasting. This dew, how many of you woke up in the morning and there was dew on the ground? All of us? Okay, good. Right now we don't get dew because it's too cold. Did you know frost is just the frozen portion of dew? So just in case you didn't know that, welcome to Science Class 101, that's all you get. I failed music class and now I'm up to science class. But this dew, our dew in the springtime or fall or summer, when with the atmosphere and all that, our dew is dry compared to what comes on this. This dew is a heavy, heavy dew. It's a wet, heavy dew. And so when it would come, it was like you're working outside and you get this glass of ice cold tea or lemonade. It's 90 degrees out. You're sweating like a Dickens. And you drink it. It's like, ah. That's what that dew is like. That is what unity is like. It's like a fresh breath of air. It's like a rejuvenating to the body. It's healthy. And then it goes on. It goes, and there the Lord will pronounce his blessings. If you want blessings in your life, walk in unity. Walk in unity with God. Walk in the unity of what God's doing. And you will be blessed by him. Can you imagine a week from today? We all come back and say, I was blessed because I walked in unity this week. I didn't say anything bad about the pastor this week. I didn't say anything bad about anybody in the church this week. I thank God for everybody who showed up, even the little rascal I don't like. So the thing about it is that we can walk in unity. And then Paul, hey guys.
Better late than never.
And so here Paul continues to state this. He goes, Christ isn't divided, so let's not be divided. Especially over the silliest, stupidest things. We Christians love to argue over the stupidest little things. That doesn't mean a thing to the kingdom of God. There was a couple preachers out there that was preaching against facial hair on men. They go, it's unbiblical and you can't be anointed if you have facial hair. And I'm thinking, wow, Jesus must not have been biblical or anointed. So David, you're in good hands. You're very biblical. Good job. So it's silly things like that. We make an argument over those type of things. And we want to bring, it's more division than anything else. Then Paul goes, I'm grateful I didn't really baptize any of you guys. Then Paul goes, for Christ did not send me to baptize. Can you imagine someone come along and say, I'm not here to baptize you. I'm here to preach the kingdom of God. Because that's more important. Because like I said earlier, baptism will not save you. Repentance. Changing your ways. Trusting God. Believing God. Giving your life to Christ. Is the only way. The only way. To get there. And he goes, and not with clever speech. For fear that the cross of Christ would lose his power. I started the sermon that way. I want to end the sermon that way. That I'm not here with elegant of speech. I never claimed to be the most gifted orator in town. But I will say, we will always open the altars. We will always go to the cross. And we will not back down from preaching the kingdom of God and what he has for us. Because I've seen too much here. Too much people being set free, delivered, sanctified, healed. For me to say, okay, I'll back up just to please somebody. 2026, if we don't keep the cross before us, if we don't keep going to the cross, it says everything that will be shaken will be shaken. The only thing that will last is what you're standing on. If you're not standing on Christ, you will not last. You will be sunken like quicksand. Never seen quicksand. But you will be sunken. You'll be shaken. Your faith will be shaken. And right now, we are in a shaking business. And guess what? Put your roots down. Hey, now I'm not going to say hang on for dear life. I want to say, hang on for the enjoyment. Because you are called for a time such as this. And it's time to run to the battle, y'all. It's not time to sit back and eat our bonbons and be lazy, right, Lois? It's time to use those knees. It's time to use our feet. Time to move forward. And God's got something in store for us. If not, I wouldn't be here any longer. And what he did this morning is just the tip of the iceberg. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you just pour it out upon us, your spirit. Forgive us for times that we don't walk in unity. When we want our way. Lord, forgive me when I have not walked in unity under authority that was placed over me. Forgive me for that, Lord. I ask you, bless them, touch them, and be with them. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we love you. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, but keep going with him. Do not grow weary doing good. Keep going with him. Stand and stand to more, pulling down strongholds. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The power of the cross. Holy Spirit, do your work. We love you, Jesus. Let's sing this last song and then we'll go from there.